Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, April 24th, 2017. Here are top stories.
Tonight, mission not accomplished in Afghanistan. After the mother of all bombs was dropped on ISIS, Afghan insurgents have begun to fight back, and the Taliban still remain the biggest security threat in that country. Meanwhile, the U.S. military says the Taliban are getting their weapons from Russia. Then, the history and insanity of Earth Day. A look back at some of the most ridiculous predictions on Earth Day's past.
Good evening. A unique day in American history is ending. A day set aside for a nationwide outpouring of mankind seeking its own survival. Earth Day.
Plus new dire warnings for planet Earth. All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
The reason InfoWars Life has five-star ratings on major third-party sites is because I want products I'm going to use for my family. I take this. My family takes this. And then it funds the operation with the most hardcore, truthful information you're going to find anywhere. So what you find in our news is the same thing you find in our products at InfoWarsLife.com.
If I ever forget to take them, like, I'm having noticeable difference. I don't feel good. The nascent iodine is one of the ones that was life-changing for me.
Yeah, I actually have just run out of my super female. I had a few bottles at my house, and I've been taking it again, hitting the gym once again. Very exciting, feeling great, looking good. So, and I know my hair is luxurious once again. So obviously the super female is amazing. I love it.
Nascent iodine is essential. Survival Shield X2. If there's one product that I would say is life-changing that I would suggest, it's Nascent Iodine Survival Shield X2. It's got a five-star rating.
It's a win-win. InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome. Sales of nuclear shelters and radiation-blocking air filters are surging in Japan. They're concerned that we're going to have a war there. And, of course, this is something that we did not foresee, and certainly the Japanese did not foresee. They say a small company that specializes in building nuclear shelters, generally under people's houses, has received 8 orders in the month of April alone, compared with 6 orders that they received during a typical year. So if you annualize that out, even though we're not finished with April yet, that would be a 1,500% increase. These things are not cheap either. The air purifier for 6 people sells for about $5,600. One that would be for 13 people and the kind of shelter that they're talking about underneath a house would be about $15,500. And they say they can't even keep up with demand. They said it takes time and money to build a shelter. But all we hear these days is, I need one now. It just goes to show that you have to prepare in advance. Who would have thought when we voted for Donald Trump that one of his first priorities would be to attack North Korea, that we would become, again, the world's policeman in an area of the world where we first became the world's policeman, where we didn't get a declaration of war by President Truman. 64 years after the ceasefire, we see that China is using North Korea as leverage to get trade considerations out of the United States instead of the other way around. As I've pointed out before, it is China that has a massive concern about the immigration that can occur if there was a war, the massive number of refugees that could go into China as well as into Russia. That's why they have forward placed a lot of military at the borders to keep that from happening. They've already had situations where there's been a massive release of North Korean prisoners, criminals, into their society. And, of course, no society can handle uncontrolled immigration. China knows it. Russia knows it. Americans know it, except for the American left. And some people in France even understand that. We will see with the runoff election whether they truly understand that. But as we see these things heating up, we now see President Trump today went to the United Nations, I guess, to talk to them about war, perhaps to get approval from the Security Council. President Trump hosted members of the UN Security Council at the White House today. They say on CNBC, this is a highly unusual meeting. Yes, it is. Made even more startling because of the harsh criticism of the UN that we saw during Trump's campaign and the kind of criticism that he had since taking office. But of course, it's a great banner day for UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. She's at the top of the heap. This is her month to be president of the Security Council. And she's enjoying this along with the people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Elliot Abram. All these people, Paul Wolfowitz, they say Trump is looking great. He's looking great to the neocons. Yes, he is. And, of course, again, we were talking just a few weeks ago about how Trump is going to reduce the UN's budget. But now it appears that we're going to maybe make some concessions to the UN as well as to China if the UN will allow us to spend more of our blood, more of our treasure in Korea in another war, presumably for the UN, because they say, keep saying in these establishment papers and Reuters, they say, well, this is in defiance of UN sanctions the North Koreans are, so the U.S. has to do something about it. So if they'll let us do something about it, then we will, I guess, pony up for the UN and give them more money. Meanwhile, sometime, not specific about when it'll actually happen, President Trump is going to meet with all the Senate, all 100 of the senators this week. He will brief them on the situation in North Korea, presumably after the military-industrial complex and the bankers and the globalists and the United Nations have decided, along with President Trump, what they're going to do about it. They will then inform the Senate, which I guess is an improvement. Panetta, when he was defense secretary, remember we had that back and forth between Senator Sessions, and Senator Sessions had, well, you would certainly go to the American Congress for a declaration of war. And he goes, no, no, we would talk to the, we'd talk to our allies. We would talk to the United Nations. And then we might tell Congress what's going on. And now that's exactly what we see happening. At the time, Senator Sessions could not believe his ears. Says, I can't believe this. You're a congressman, Mr. Panetta. You know what the Constitution says? Panetta was really pretty arrogant about it. But that's exactly what we see happening right now. They said this comes after Trump criticized North Korea's continuing belligerence in a phone call with China's President Xi, and also in a separate call with German Chancellor Angela Merkel today. So there we go. We're consulting with our foreign allies. We're begging the Chinese for permission. And then at some point, we may inform the Senate of what we're going to do, but we're not going to have a constitutional declaration of war, most likely. We'll just go into it. So we should ask ourselves and look at the last action that we had, the dropping of the Moab bomb. Did that really accomplish anything? Trump maybe got a popularity boost out of it for now, but it may be a sugar fix. Anti-war points out that while U.S. officials have made a great deal about the quote-unquote message that was sent by the use of the massive ordnance air blast bomb, they also call it Moab, the mother of all bombs. We've heard that on and on and on, the echo chamber of the warmongering mass media. Well, did it really do anything? They say officially we were told first that there were 36 people that were killed, ISIS fighters. Then they said 96 ISIS fighters were reported killed, but then we never saw any evidence. We're not going to see any evidence. The Pentagon has insisted that they're not going to assess what the bomb did on the ground. Reuters reporters have actually visited the site, and they are coming up short on evidence. They say they can't see anything other than a scarred mountainside and a bunch of burnt trees. They found no obvious crater. They didn't find any bodies. But here's the most damning part of it. We were told that they had to use that giant bomb, not to impress us because they've got the biggest bomb, but because they had to take out the tunnels. Yet what's happening? We have Afghan soldiers in the area exploring the tunnel system beneath the site of the bombing, which was apparently still intact. You see, the Moab bomb isn't really set up to take out tunnels. There's an MOP, a bunker buster bomb, that has actually been used in the past for that, but this is the first time Moab was used. Moab has not been used before because what it does is it creates a 1 mile radius blast surface that is very difficult to control in terms of collateral damage, killing innocent civilians, for example. And it is not set up to go after the tunnels. That's the bunker buster bomb. And so they dropped this bomb, but yet we were told immediately, the Pentagon said it was the right bomb in the right time in the right place. Well, maybe it wasn't, and maybe they knew that, which is why they came out with that pronouncement. So there's no evidence that's going on there. They're looking at the tunnel system, which still exists. And then meanwhile, we see that maybe They have rekindled this war that began under George W. Bush. Was it really mission accomplished? He didn't accomplish the mission. We're still there. We were there throughout all 8 years of the Obama administration. Now we're kindling this up to a much larger war. There was a Taliban attack on a North Afghanistan army base that killed at least 163 last week. There was a national day of mourning following Friday's attack on the army base. They say the death toll is continuing to rise, and so is the anger of the people in Afghanistan. They're calling for security officials to resign after yet another high-profile failure. So 163 people killed at an Afghanistan army base. Today, we had U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis arrive in Afghanistan. He is looking at whether or not they're going to increase our military presence there. And they had a suspected Taliban insurgent set off a car bomb at the U.S.-operated base in Afghanistan, according to officials. At least four people were reportedly killed, six others wounded. The attacker detonated the car bomb at the entrance to Camp Chapman, a secretive facility manned by U.S. forces and private military contractors. That's reported by RT. They say at least four security guards were killed, six others wounded in the attack in the eastern province of Khost. And this is as Mattis is looking at the situation, contemplating sending even more troops into Afghanistan, bringing up that war again. And as we've seen before, with the attacks on the Egyptian church on Palm Sunday, when you one of the most vulnerable areas that you have is at the entrance where you are screening the cars or screening the people going into, let's say, the airport. And so setting up this kind of TSA security that we have in the airports doesn't help anyone's security. We've seen at the Egyptian church. Now we see again at this U.S. military base that when you mass people together like we do at the airports, that's just going to increase the casualties of a suicide bomb attack. Now, in other news, we had over the weekend many people celebrating, or not celebrating, but commemorating the anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. It's been 102 years since the Ottoman Turks tried to wipe out the Armenians. And, of course, this gave, coined the term, it was coined by Raphael Lemkin, he coined the term genocide, a deliberate, systematic attempt to eliminate an entire people or an entire race. And we have now seen that done over and over again. But this is the first time that it was done. This is the first time that it was at the Armenian Genocide. And Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau issued a statement on the 102nd anniversary. And they had in 2015, the Canadian House of Commons unanimously passed a motion declaring April the 24th today as Armenian Genocide Memorial Day. And yet our American presidents cannot use the word genocide when referring to this situation. And that includes President Trump. He's continuing the tradition of former presidents, like former President Obama, who refused to call this mass killing a genocide. Today, he issued a statement about the deaths of 1.5 million Armenians. He declined to label it as a genocide. He said, "Today, we remember and honor the memory of those who suffered during the Meds Yegrin, one of the worst mass atrocities of the 20th century," but he would not call it a genocide. And I think it's significant. When you cannot say the words radical Islamic terrorism, as Obama couldn't, there is something wrong. And, of course, Donald Trump has said that many times and continues to say it. And yet McMasters, who he put in as head of the National Security Council, one of the first things that he did was to tell everybody, we are not going to use that phrase. Words have meaning. If you stop calling people illegal aliens and you call them undocumented immigrants, that does a lot to change the terms of the debate. They're really foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing here, but we can't call them that. We call them undocumented immigrants. And so to call this just the Meds Yegrin instead of calling it a genocide is a weak statement at the very least. He said, "I joined the Armenian community in America and around the world in mourning the loss of innocent lives and suffering endured by many." Trump's statement is an important gesture to Turkey. And that's the takeaway here, folks. The influence of Turkey, the rising influence of Turkey here in the United States. So we all know that Israel and Saudi Arabia have massive influence in the United States. Many people do not realize the massive influence of Turkey in the United States. We'll talk about that in just a moment. The Turkish government has resisted using the genocide label since the Ottoman Turks did it in 1915. Recently, more than 80 lawmakers sent a letter to President Trump pressing him to use the term, but he refused to do that. And so The Armenian Association said the president's statement fails to stand up for human rights and is inconsistent with American values. It represents the same kind of capitulation to Turkish authorities, which will cost more lives. They say that there really should be an investigation in the surreptitious Turkish influence on the U.S. government. Asked why Trump decided not to use the term, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said the statement is consistent with statements that have been put out for at least the last several administrations. And unfortunately, his statements and his actions are also starting to look very much like the foreign policy of the last several administrations as well. And so there's a question. Doug Bandow asks at the American Conservative. He says, is Turkey still a bridge to the West? And he points out that Turkey's president, Erdogan, put his power and prestige on the line this month to get more dictatorial powers. He pushed constitutional referendum to create an all-powerful executive. He purged, he arrested tens of thousands of Turks. He closed, he cowed the opposition press. He made criticism a treasonable offense. And he manipulated electoral rules. He committed vote fraud. Yet the measure still barely passed 51.4% to 48.6%. Now, he took power in 2002. Initially, he spent several years liberalizing the economy. Even liberal secularists and feminists backed him. Turkey prospered economically. The Turks enjoyed greater freedom. He wanted to become part of Europe. He was going to join NATO and the European Union. But there were always people who doubted him, says Doug Bandow. Erdogan once said, quote, democracy is like a streetcar. You ride it until you arrive at your destination, and then you get off. We've seen that many times, haven't we? Around 2010, he changed directions radically. And instead of having a secular government, instead of having a liberal government, he started using, you saw a lot of corruption. Tax investigations became a tool of repression. Critics, even children, were prosecuted for insulting his majestic person on social media. And then, after spending a lot of time cooperating with Fethullah Gulen, an Islamic imam who has over 1,000 schools worldwide. As a matter of fact, here in the United States, the Gulenist movement gets half a billion with a B, taxpayer dollars in charter schools for their schools. Now, they're here in America. They are, of course, not openly Islamic because they want our money. But everywhere else, they are. Here, they go under the guise of schools of science and math. But make no doubt about it, Fethullah Gulen is an Islamicist. He wants a worldwide caliphate with himself at the top. The difference that he has with Erdogan is that Erdogan wants himself at the top of a worldwide caliphate. So the two of them have essentially had a civil war going on in Turkey. And after last July's coup attempt, it was immediately blamed on Erdogan. And we see that the results of this are so far, as best we can count, 47,000 arrested, 130,000 purged from civil life, including those who have been forced from their jobs. So the question is, 102 years ago, we had massive genocide in Turkey. Today, we may have democide, and it is all to set up an Islamic caliphate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
InfoWars has partnered with Defender Body Armor to bring you a new state-of-the-art line of advanced, highly tested body armor from InfoWarsStore.com. Defender Body Armor is certified to protect against all handgun rounds and even armor-piercing FN 5.7 pistol rounds. The secret to Defender Body Armor is its proprietary processing technology that disperses more kinetic energy at a rate higher than any other traditional body armor. Using one of the strongest synthetic materials ever created, called ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene, Defender Armor is also super compact and lightweight. There's a reason the Department of Defense chose Defender to manufacture their new line of advanced lightweight armor. It works. Defender Body Armor is made right here in America and has received the highest level ballistic resistance certification from an authorized NIJ ballistic laboratory. Defender Body Armor is now available through InfoWarsStore.com, so you can defend yourself, your family, and finance the info war against the globalists all at the same time. A total 360 win.
You provided Alex with the caveman.
Well, so we've been formulating this stuff for a while, and we've been getting these different flavors, and you know, I don't know about this one, you know, and so I've been taking that stuff, and I'm an old man. I'm 42. I work out five times a week, if not more.
I hear you're okay in jujitsu.
No, I'm not. I'm terrible. I'm terrible. But the point is that I have a lot of aches and shoulders and, you know, this weird joint stuff that I've had issues with for years. And this bone broth, the caveman bone broth, along with our joint formula has just worked magic for me. And that's just, that's just from my personal experience. I think they're great products. And I think if anybody else has those issues that you owe it to yourself to check it out. If I'm wrong, then, hey, man, write me a mean letter. But let me tell you, they work for me. And so,
yeah, they work for me, too. We were talking about this earlier. Dude and I play basketball, and I'm just now, like, for the first time in my life, I'm 27 now. After I play basketball, my knees are barking. But the bone broth and the joint formula, like you just said, you combine those two, I felt the difference immediately. I felt it immediately.
Yeah, and it actually tastes good. Like, I'm really picky. And I will drink it. It tastes good to me. I love chocolate. So I really like the flavor of the caveman. So, I mean, if the bone broth is really that gross, I mean, I would never have known because it tastes really good. And my favorite is the Super Female Vitality. So ladies, get yourself some Super Female Vitality if you haven't already, because it seriously, it just gets me going. I mean, I'll take a whole bunch of that stuff before I go out
maybe
and do
get it
my
for your wife then too, yeah, or girlfriend.
Right? I go and take a bunch of it before I go do man on the street, and I just start running, zipping around, running right into the action. No fear, nothing. So,
well, that's a big primary part about find the globalists is making sure that we stay healthy and stay clear-eyed and stay honest and stay humble. I hope that we do that here at InfoWars. We got a lot going on and we're in the middle of the fight, so we really appreciate it when anybody supports us either by purchasing our products, or you can even go onto our store and donate. We're doing this by the skin of our teeth. I know it looks like we're in a billion-dollar studio, but Alex has never taken 1 cent of borrowed money at all whatsoever. This is all money that's come from you, the listeners. So you have literally built this place, built this place with your compassion and built this place with the support that you've sent us. So from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate it, because I know we wouldn't be able to do this. We wouldn't have a voice if it wasn't for you. So once again, we got to thank the listeners for their steadfastness in supporting us. And even when we make mistakes, and even when we're not right, and even when we might go a little bit crazy, you guys stick with us, and I appreciate that.
Leah McAdoo here with a news blitz and a couple of stories that you might have missed. The New York Times is now advocating the stifling nature of snowflakes in their opinion pages. They say, what snowflakes get right about free speech? And then they go on to write an entire article about everything that's absolutely wrong and misunderstood about the First Amendment. So from the New York Times, we should thank the student protesters, the activists in Black Lives Matter, and other overly sensitive souls for keeping watch over the soul of our republic. They say that these demonstrations should be understood as an attempt to ensure the conditions of free speech for a greater group of people rather than censorship. So it's all about for the greater good, destroying the individual here. So moving closely and quickly to a totalitarian fascist state. So they say that liberal free speech advocates rush to point out that the views of these individuals must be heard first to be rejected. But this is not the case. They say you don't even need to hear anything you don't want to hear. You don't need to hear opinions that you disagree with. We're just going to reject you outright. They say when those views invalidate the humanity of some people, they restrict speech as a public good. Just for the greater good, we got to shut down any speech that we do not agree with. Again, they're trying to push this message that the First Amendment does not protect hate speech, but I'm sorry, folks. Yes, it does. This is the New York Times in 2017. They would like you to know that we shouldn't have free speech in the United States. So they say, go on to say, the idea of freedom of speech does not mean a blanket permission to say anything that anybody thinks. Yes, it does. It's at the very core of the First Amendment. It's what makes this country so great, what many people die to get here, because it's enshrined there in our First Amendment. So they say it means balancing the inherent value of a given view with the obligation to ensure that other members of a given community can can participate in the discourse as fully recognized members of that community. No, it doesn't. So I guess this is the new sophisticated interpretation of the First Amendment that they're really trying to push. Sophisticated. So we have to now balance people's feelings with your right to free speech. So it does not mean that whatsoever. So then they go on to incorrectly say that free speech protections should not mean that someone's humanity or their right to participate in political speech as political agents can be freely attacked, demeaned, or questioned. So they're saying, basically they're saying that just because you say things that are inflammatory doesn't mean you should be protected from being attacked, being shut down, being questioned. That's absolutely what the First Amendment, we're supposed to have discussions about things that we disagree with, except for they are basically going out and doing the exact same thing that this argument makes. That is why UC Berkeley is now being sued over Ann Coulter's planned visit. The two student groups there that invited this conservative commentator to campus have now sued school officials, saying the school's decision to postpone her appearance violated their free speech rights. So there you go. We can go both ways. We can turn that thing around. And Judge Janine actually kind of gave it the very good takeaway here. She said that all of this social justice warrior business on campus, America is in trouble. They are trying to silence us, and that this is putting us on the course where we are in danger of becoming a fascist, totalitarian society where there is only one accepted point of view. No other will be tolerated, and it is time to fight back. And indeed, this is what we are seeing on college campuses, protests all across the country. People are indeed starting to say, you know what? You might call yourself anti-fascist, but you are directly guiding us toward a totalitarian fascist state where you try to shut down anybody's speech as long as it offends you. So then we're going to have to figure out who is going to then define what is hate speech. It's just interpreted whatever social justice warrior flavor of the day is, whatever offends me this afternoon, that is now hate speech. And also we're going to have to figure out who are these marginalized members of society, who are the historically oppressed, because all of this is changing. It's a changing dynamic. And just as we've been pointing out, the millennials are soon to be pushed out of this scope of propaganda in the colleges, and they're going to be replaced with the very much more conservative Generation Z. So it'll be interesting to see what type of censorship remains on campus once we have a new group of thinkers. Well, President Trump campaigned on the promise that he would make the Veterans Affairs great again, put our troops first, and do away with the sorry state of affairs there at the VA. And it looks like he plans on doing just that as early as this Thursday. Trump plans on signing an executive order establishing an office at the Department of Veterans Affairs to discipline or fire incompetent employees or managers. So this is going to be an office of accountability and whistleblower protection, because as we know, there has been a massive witch hunt against anybody there at the VA. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a little flashback here, let's just go back to this VA scandal of 2014, where we learned that hundreds of thousands of veterans were put on these waiting lists to nowhere. The managers were getting away with murder, literally. And at the time, when we were hearing about people who were being fired for this big scandal, there was only one top-level VA head that was let go. There was some three low-level VA operatives that were fired for manipulating wait times. So no senior executives were successfully fired for doing the same. So hundreds of thousands of veterans on these waiting lists. The official death toll remains unclear because they have really crappy data entry and management. We do know that in Phoenix alone, an estimated 40 veterans died waiting for care as VA officials cooked the books and they cashed in. There was a record number, $142 million showered on executives, managers, and employees in 2014 alone. So this is the VA bonus bonanza. So while they are patting themselves on the back for getting the numbers down because they just put the VA, these veterans on waiting lists to nowhere, they're giving themselves big time bonuses. And they were rewarding, for instance, among the recipients were claims processors in Philadelphia. in the benefits office there. Investigators dubbed that office one of the worst in the country, yet they were given bonuses. Managers in Toma, Wisconsin got $1,000 to $4,000, even though they oversaw the overprescription of opiates to veterans, one of whom died. And then as InfoWars reported, there was a VA supervisor expressing his desire to see older veterans taken outside and shot in the head. And this scandal goes on and on, the amount of disdain for our veterans there in Veterans Affairs. And in about 2012, the VA doled out nearly $400,000 in bonuses to hospital officials. This is the same time that these veterans are fighting to just get seen by a doctor. So here they are doling out all of this cash. Now President Trump is saying no more. We finally got someone in there who plans on taking them to task. They say that identifying bad VA employees won't do any good if you still can't fire them. So now they are going to be establishing this Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection in order to move it through Congress, this legislation that will empower them to fire any employees almost immediately that are causing trouble. For instance, one employee was discovered watching porn while taking care of a patient. They couldn't fire him, though, because of the bureaucratic mix-up there, the stagnation there. The only thing I would say, President Trump, good job on this executive order, but we need to establish more of these offices of accountability for many other departments there in the government.
The Federal Reserve is a private banking cartel.
Yeah, Fed is a sometimes very independent organization.
What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
The Federal Reserve is an independent agency. There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
They print our money and then loan it to us at interest. The IRS is their collection agency.
So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter.
Jeff Duncan says he saw IRS special agents using semi-automatic rifles at a gun range. Now he wants answers to why the agency needs that type of firepower.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge.
Know your history and you will know your enemy. Infowars.com.
Why is the fungus? Why is the mold? Why is the yeast taking over? What is going on? What has changed? Dr. Group, the new product will sell out definitely in days. You've been testing it for almost a decade. You've got rave reviews from your patients who've been taking it privately at your clinics. MycoZX supports normal fungal and yeast balance, proprietary blend of herbs and enzymes made with high-quality ingredients. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com. We also have free shipping, orders $50 or more, and 10% off when you sign up for auto ship. Additionally, on top of that, and then you fund an organization dedicated to the truth and get something you and your family absolutely need. But you should consult your healthcare provider. This is not a game. This is not a joke. Especially if you have really big yeast levels or fungus in your body, there can be some responses to this as you're flushing it. But why is this product so powerful? What does it do?
So we've been doing research just like you have on what's currently going on. Obviously, we stay ahead of the game because our job is to protect and address the root cause of the problem, which is why I've been...
Now, we want stuff for our own kids.
This is why we've addressed the president, let's address the root cause of America's health problems. But getting back to fungus, it's becoming an increasing epidemic that's only getting worse.
Killing bats everywhere, other animals, squirrels are dying.
Funguses were used as bioweapons.
So why is it suddenly killing so many mammals?
Yeah, fungus is a growing epidemic. And I've been testing this formula and making changes to this formula for over 10 years. I've had nobody. Here's the thing, Alex. When you go to the doctor with a list of symptoms, you can look at symptoms of fungus overgrowth in the body. It's going to show, you're going to pull up over 100 symptoms, everything from brain fog, lack of energy, insomnia, headaches, bowel problems.
Joint pain.
It's joint pain. It's linked to Crohn's disease.
Infertility.
Now.
What about the obesity epidemic? I know they test people that are really obese and they're just colonized by fungus.
Yeast overgrowth. I have a study right here by Jacob Tietelbaum at the Fibromyalgia and Fatigue Center in Dallas. Yeast overgrowth is linked to an average weight gain of 32 and a half pounds. What doctor...
By the way, folks, Look, I'm not bragging. We game-changed the presidency. We game-changed the New World Order. Globalism is falling because of you. You are the info war. Listen, this is religious for me, okay? I do not bring you something unless I absolutely believe in it. And if we were reigned with $1 billion, I would turn 99% of it against the enemy. I want to defeat them. I'm ready to give my life. Everybody knows that, against the enemy. Please. We only have a limited supply of this. I want to get your reviews. I want to hear what you have to say. For me, it's been incredible. MycoZX, antifungal, antifungus, anti-yeast. Get it today. Limited run. It'll be months till we get more. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com. MycoZX goes great with the bomb defense. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. And you can't support an organization that isn't fighting harder. Look at the response we're getting. We were changing the world together. You are the InfoWar. God bless you all. Let's go to Devin in Florida. Devin in Florida, you're on the air.
Great. Hey, thank you so much. Listen, I have bought your product, and I got to say, they're amazing.
Thank
Anyone
you.
Who's on the fence, buy it, because I've got Caveman, Superman Vitality, Secret 12, Vitamin Mineral Fusion. I've got the Body Armor.
Wow, thank you.
Wow.
You're the type of listener that makes it all possible. Which nutraceutical does you like best?
I really like the Vitamin Mineral Fusion, to be honest.
That's amazing.
Really incredible. I drank it in the morning, and I swear to you, I felt incredible. Like, I haven't felt in a week. My morning was fantastic, and I love you guys. I love the InfoWars crew, and I want to take this opportunity to tell anybody out there who's on the fence, just buy it. You will love it. I'm telling you, I've never bought a bad product.
What you find in our news is the same thing you find in our products at InfoWarsLife.com. It's a win-win. InfoWarsLife.com.
Well, this weekend, we celebrated 47 years of climate madness. Yes, it was the 47th anniversary of the first Earth Day in 1970. Now, this is not science, in spite of the virtue signaling of all these so-called scientists, and we don't know what their credentials are, but that's what they want to put forward to you. They want to give you their credentials. As one person pointed out, if this is settled science, then why are we still investigating this? Why are we still funding their research grants? Are we doing research grants on gravity, for example? No, we're not. That is settled science. And we can come up with mathematical equations that precisely describe what's going on. But they don't have models that can be tested. And this is part of the problem. But if they want to argue, as they do, from the point of authority. This is an appeal to authority. Believe this because I say so. I don't ever tell you anything like that. Nobody here at InfoWars ever tells you, you should believe it because I say so. We have enough respect for you that we give you information and tell you to think for yourself, not to go on authorities. But let's take a look at some of these authorities. One of the people who was instrumental in the very beginning was Paul Ehrlich. He was a group called Zero Population Growth, which they later renamed the Population Connection. He formed that in 1968, and for many years he had preached the idea that there was going to be mass chaos, the destruction of civilization and famines because we had too many people. And, of course, the fruit of what he was doing was the one-child policy that we saw in China, which resulted in an untold number of babies that were killed. Misery on families because of this one-child policy. But like the war on drugs, this all really began at the UN. But before we go to the chronology of this, I want to talk about one other person who eventually did run for president, Barry Commoner. He was a guy who in 1976, 6 years after the first Earth Day, wrote a book called The Poverty of Power. And he said there was a threat to us that came from three E's. So easy to remember here. There was a shortage of energy, an unexpected decline in the economy, you know, things like this energy crisis that we saw where they were telling us this is real fake news. This is the ultimate in fake news. This is fake news, so fake that when I saw this in 1979, I saved it so I could show it to you in the future. This is like Back to the Future where they found the book that had all the people that were going to win the prize. Well, this is the clue. This is the Rosetta Stone of how they lie to us. In this magazine, they were telling us that we had less than 10 years of oil, less than 10 years of natural gas. So we're going to run out of all that stuff in the 1980s. Yeah. Well, we're going to revisit some of these predictions here. But understand that Barry Commoner was telling us there was a threat to environmental survival as well as the shortage of energy, the decline of our economy. And this is what he had to say. He said, the problem of the three E's is caused by the capitalist system, and it can only be solved by replacing it with socialism. And I think it's interesting, all these years when we talk about this, I and many of my friends would call these people watermelons. Barry Commoner is a good example of a watermelon. There's a thin veneer of green on the outside, but on the inside, he's thoroughly red. He's just a communist. And quite frankly, when we look at these dire predictions that they made, the only place where that came true was in Venezuela, where they enacted socialism. It was a cause of socialism that created the consequences that they were saying we're all going to suffer. It was socialism, not climate change, that was man-made. But let's look at the chronology of this. Of course, it began, like so many things, at the UN. Just like the war on drugs began with the UN agenda, so did this climate madness begin with a UN agenda. In 1969, UNESCO had a UN conference in San Francisco. And there was an activist, John McConnell, and later he was running that conference, big part of that. He got together with UN Secretary General at the time, U Thant, and they selected the first day of spring, May 31st, 1970, to be the first Earth Day. They were going to honor the Earth, actually. And it was a month later that U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson said, let's make it a day of environmental education on April the 22nd. And that's when the first Earth Day was. And since then, we've had Earth Day all the time. And we've now extended it to a week. And, of course, in the next segment, we're going to have an interview with someone who is going to tell us all about the environmental propaganda programs that they're now doing today for your children. But after that first Earth Day, in April the 22nd, and again, remember they had the day to honor the Earth, the first day of spring, that's not stuck with us, but the educational propaganda has stuck with us that Senator Gaylord put in there. It was April the 22nd, 1970. By December, Richard Nixon had created the EPA. See, that's how these things work. The UN created the agenda for the war on drugs. They created the agenda for environmentalism. And then Richard Nixon would make it law because, you know, he's a Republican, so we can trust him, right? That's the way these things always work out. And then where are we? Well, on Earth Day 2016, Earth Day last year, we had the Paris Agreement that was signed by Obama, by China, and by 120 other countries. Let's take a quick look and some of these dire predictions that they gave us back in 1970. We were told that civilization will end by 1985 or 2000. That was a Harvard biologist. So much for the argument from authority. This is a Harvard biologist. And civilization was going to end, I think it was, 30 years ago, 32 years ago. By 1980, overpopulation, they said, will result in 100 to 200 million people per year starving to death. That was Paul Ehrlichman. That was in 1970. Also, Paul Ehrlichman said, Americans born since 1946, said this in 1970, since 1946, they now have, he said this in 1970, a life expectancy of only 49 years. If current patterns continue, this expectancy will reach only 42 years by 1980. No, it didn't happen. Dennis Hayes, one of the chief organizers of the first Earth Day, said it's already too late to avoid mass starvation. As a matter of fact, Peter Gunter of North Texas State University, professor there, university professor, you have to believe him. Just take it on what he has to say. He said this, demographers agree almost unanimously. Where have we heard that before? All the experts agree. All the climate scientists agree. No, they don't, quite frankly. And even if they did, they need to be able to prove it. Prove it to me, okay? Demographers agree, he said, almost unanimously on the following grim timetable. By 1975, there'll be widespread famines that will begin in India. By 1990, all of India, Pakistan, China, the Near East, Africa. By 2000, 30 years from then, okay, 17 years ago, the entire world, he said, was, with the exception of Western Europe, North America, and Australia, the entire world was going to be in famine 17 years ago. That was Peter Gunter. In 25 years, said Senator Gaylord Nelson, the guy who created Earth Day, the guy who made it a day of environmental education. He said, in 25 years, somewhere between 75% and 80% of all species of living animals will be extinct. And so that you understand, this is coming from an argument from authority. He quoted the secretary of the Smithsonian Institute, Dr. Ripley, because we always have to argue from authority, not from facts. Paul Ehrlich, again, predicted 90% of tropical rainforests to be gone by the year 2005. Half of all the organisms in these areas will vanish with it. And then we had this one from Ken Watt. Want to talk about global warming? Well, he was talking about an ice age. He said the world has been chilling sharply for about 20 years. Where did he get that data? Well, maybe the same place they're getting it now. Just making it up. Okay, he says if present trends continue, the world will be about 4 degrees colder by the year 2000. This is about twice what it would take to put us into an ice age. Now we're hearing, this is what we hear today, just the opposite, aren't we? Global sea levels are rising at an alarmingly fast rate of 6.7 inches in the last century alone, they're telling us. Surface temperatures are setting new records every year. Actually, they say about each year. How exact is that? About each year, they're setting new records. So again, we see exactly the same, the opposite being told. So there's this article here by a man who is a PhD. He is a climate expert. His name is Dr. Dwayne Thresher. Breitbart points out a climate scientist urges President Trump not to cave to Ivanka's climate change madness. He said climate treaties like the Paris Agreement have little to do with climate. They're about economic competition. As the greatest economy in the history of the world, other countries will do anything to cripple the United States, especially countries like China. He said that countries like China will agree to anything in these treaties. They'll simply ignore their obligations while demanding the U.S. fulfill theirs. He said global warming is a popular delusion. He said, we who voted for you, consider stopping this climate change madness one of your key promises. If you renege on it, you will lose me and many others as supporters. And, of course, he applauded the fact that we have Pruitt appointed as head of EPA, and he has made some good moves. Of course, he's not getting rid of EPA, but he has made some promising moves. Nevertheless, they're dragging their feet on getting rid of the climate agreement, which is not a treaty. And he says this, finally, even if Trump caves and stays in the Paris Climate Agreement, you won't win any friends. He said your opponents are not going to support you. They'll just taunt you as being a flip-flopper. Now, stay with us. As I said, when we come back, we're going to have an interview with somebody who's going to break down what the state of the art in climate propaganda is for your children. Stay with us.
Alex Jones here with a very important news update to anybody out there that wants to be prepared. But it goes beyond being prepared. Our bodies absolutely must have the good halogen iodine or we will die. And you look at all of the thyroid problems and all the people that don't have energy and that have all sorts of hormone problems. And from my research and a lot of just mainline research, it leads back to iodine over and over and over again. It's as important as vitamin C. If you don't get iodine, you die. But most people are just deficient, so they're low energy, they're sick. You got to have iodine in your body so that your body can produce the hormones you need. It is the base to so many things. And since I got into iodine 4 years ago, we've helped change the entire paradigm by developing and bringing to the public deep earth crystals from 7 to 12,000 feet of the purest iodine available. Other iodine comes from the ocean or from other byproducts of chemical facilities and is tainted. It's bound. It's not absorbable. I tried it. And I had incredible effects even with dirty iodine because the body needs it. When you don't have iodine, it absorbs the chlorine, the fluoride, and all these other bad halogens. Do yourself and your family a favor and check out the importance of iodine for yourself. I think you're going to be blown away. And whatever you do, support the broadcast and get a bottle of Survival Shield Nascent Iodine X2. Also, consult your physician because if you've been deficient in it or have other issues, it can have some dramatic effects. As for me and most folks I talk to, it's been a game changer in the positive column. But still, consult your physician because iodine is no joke. It's a key building block of the body. And if you haven't had it for a long time and suddenly have it, some folks say they've experienced things like a detoxing effect and things like that. You've got to have vitamin C. You've got to have iodine to live. You got to have water to live. Iodine is key. You must have it. But consult your physician first before you get powerful Survival Shield Nascent Iodine X2 at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free. We can answer your questions. 888-253-3139.
This last Saturday on April 22nd, thousands of people hit the streets worldwide to march in protest for the Science March. Now, this is basically a climate change march in which people are demanding that science take precedence over politicians and that science dictate policy. Well, we are going to be talking to Holly Swanson, the director of We Choose Freedom. She's also the author of Training for Treason, which is the harmful agenda behind education for sustainability, and the book Set Up and Sold Out, What Green Really Means. So let's go ahead and talk to Holly about environmental education in our schools. Hi, Holly. Thank you so much for speaking with us. So can you tell us a little bit about how this environmental education has something a lot more sinister behind it?
Absolutely. As we all care about the environment, and we all want the best for our children, clean air and clean water, what has happened over the years since the initial launch of Earth Day in 1970, what has occurred is there has been a lot of good accomplished. However, there has been a change in the format, especially when it comes to environmental education. And after 20 years of researching this movement, the alleged nonpartisan status of the environmental movement of Earth Day is absolutely incorrect. The entire environmental movement, and specifically Earth Day, climate change education, environmental literacy, are promoting, imposing an agenda on our children, on America's children, our future voters, that mirrors communism and Green Party goals. And because this has been presented as an environmental education program, the Earth Day Network and the environmental movement has gained unprecedented access into our schools. And that creates a problem because the goals of the Earth Day Network, just to use it paraphrase what is in their promotional material for Earth Day 2017, the theme of Earth Day 2017 is environmental and climate literacy.
It has a very good moral behind it. I mean, everyone doesn't want to pollute the environment. We want our kids to be responsible. But, you know, there's something more sinister behind it. And when we see all these people, like we just saw this last Saturday on April 22nd for Earth Day, marching worldwide, we had people marching on Washington, D.C., and they were, you know, there was a lot of anti-Trump sentiment there. Can you tell us about how this is going to affect politics?
One of the goals of the Earth Day Network is that environmental and climate literacy is recognized as the engine for creating green voters. It's recognized as the engine by the environmental movement for creating green voters. That means using our public education system to indoctrinate our children to vote green, to vote for the policies and the ideology, the political ideology of the green movement, which is really in opposition to what Trump and his administration stand for. And the idea is to make our classrooms literally sites of resistance to what the president is doing as far as environmental regulations. And when you have little children who do not know the difference, they're not scientists, they do not know the difference between what makes a society work or not work, they don't understand the value of freedom. So by targeting our children and setting a goal to create green voters, the environmental movement is looking to establish a communist model of education where the children in communist countries, education is used as a weapon to control the children from the time they're little all the way through school so they're manageable as adults. And every subject is used to indoctrinate the child to support communism. And when you understand the political agenda of the environmental movement and Earth Day mirrors communism and Green Party goals, then the plan to create green voters becomes more clear.
Now, do they use climate change as a tool to kind of scare these kids into believing that, you know, the world's going to end if they don't do something?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The point is, as a matter of survival, these children are learning that in order for them to survive, they need to become political activists, social justice activists, and they need to work to end our free market system, work to end the use of fossil fuels. Change our political system is part of that, which takes us right to the goal of social justice, which is a tremendous part of the environmental literacy and climate literacy politicized curriculum. And the goal of social justice is to achieve equality in the distribution of goods and wealth among all groups in society. That goal right there of social justice matches the Central Intelligence Agency definition of a communist form of government. So if the environmental movement is teaching social justice as a climate goal, as an environmental goal, then they are teaching our children to be against our form of government and for a communist form of government. There's no two ways about it.
That's exactly right, because, you know, at the Earth Day March, a.k.a. the Climate Change March in Washington, D.C., they even had Bill Nye, the science guy, there speaking to everyone. And he even said science should dictate policy, not politicians. So that speaks exactly to what you're saying.
That's right. And climate change, and this is just a direct quote, climate change is no longer framed in physical or environmental terms, but as a social, ethical, and political issue. And that's exactly what you're talking about. By framing climate and by promoting consensus science rather than factual science, this is where the inroad into the classroom, there's still a strong and heavy debate going on the severity of what the climate issue is, how it will impact, but it is being taught as fact in our schools. And the idea is to use climate literacy, literally, to gain access further into the schools, to target and train America's children, to politically indoctrinate our children to support an agenda that mirrors communism and Green Party goals and turn them against our form of government. It's a very serious issue of national security. We need to stop it. The environmental movement, the goal of Earth Day is to get this done, to flip our education system, take over our education system, and make the new mission of public education teaching this agenda. In other words, impose a communist model of education in 3 short years. The 50th anniversary of Earth Day is 2020, and the goal is to get this job done by 2020.
Wow.
So we have a lot of work to do.
So what is an example of a communist ideology or belief system that's being masked through environmental education?
One of the best examples, again, is teaching social justice. That is that all wealth must be distributed equally. And you cannot teach social justice that all wealth must be distributed equally within our society. You cannot teach that unless you teach that you need a form of government that would first have to, A, confiscate the wealth before it could be distributed equally, wouldn't they? So you have to teach our children to be against free enterprise. You have to teach our children to be against our form of government and to be for a dictatorial form of government. And when you're talking about private property as part of what would be confiscated, Karl Marx said, communism can be summed up in a single sentence: the abolition of private property. So if all wealth has to be distributed equally, that means an end to private property ownership as well. And this is being built in through fear, literally scare tactics for not only the climate, but also endangered species.
Wow.
And it's all running out of time,
but thank you so
okay.
much. And we will have to have you come back on again. So thank you so much, Holly.
You are welcome. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am very proud to announce the introduction of the highest quality InfoWars Biome Defense probiotic. We wanted to come out with the largest spectrum of high quality known probiotics that have been proven to improve overall digestion and health and detoxification in the body. Biome Defense is an exclusive blend of 50 billion live and active cultures from over 23 different probiotic strains that are known to support digestion and intestinal function. Our researchers are confident that we have been able to develop what will be the leading probiotic on the market. Secure your Biome Defense in ultra strength or regular strength at InfoWarsLife.com today and get started supporting your digestive system naturally. We've been testing this formula for years, but this is the limited first run to the public, so please take advantage of it today. Support your own health.